This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer, and Mayor Bass and the Chief Recovery Officer gave reporters a little bit of exercise during a walk and talk interview in the Palisades. That's coming up. First, local officials now reporting another death from the wildfires. That brings a death toll from the Palisades and Eaton fires to 29. This victim, who died in a hospital, is connected to the Palisades fire, 12 of the 29 deaths from that fire. Now that the evacuation order has been lifted in the Palisades, hundreds of residents getting their first look at what is left of their homes. Pete DiVittorio talked with one of them.
I caught up with Doug Levy after he and his wife had made a second pass through the wreckage of their home. They found some china, a metal table, some other small items. But when the second story collapsed into the first, it was tough to do a thorough search. As for rebuilding homes, in some ways, their age and their design was what made the architecture special and desirable. It'll be hard to reproduce what was here before.
Some of these homes are 30s. My home was built in 1946. I don't know.
Have you talked to other people up and down the street? Have you, recognized friends?
I know all of our neighbors around us, across the street, behind us, next door to us. Talked to many of them, not all of them, and the sense is they want to rebuild, but we'll see. It's a long road.
And that long road starts with what people were doing today, walking through the rubble, recovering what they could, wondering how it can be replaced to bring back that feeling of community that was lost in the fire.
Palisades fire now 94% contained. New video is raising some more questions about whether SoCal Edison power lines started the Eaton fire. Karen Adams reports.
The cause of the fire is still under investigation, but a video from a gas station surveillance camera backs what some people saw that night. It shows flashes of light in the grassy terrain near high voltage electric poles in Eaton Canyon, and then flames moments later.
That video shows the sparking and the arcing of the tower at about 6:11 p.m. on January the 7th, which is the precise time that the Eaton Canyon fire was ignited.
The video is part of attorney Rafi Balamanian's lawsuit against SoCal Edison. He represents hundreds of people and families devastated by the fire.
The lawsuit alleges that they were the cause of the fire and that they are liable for the damages that they've caused to to the community.
SoCal Edison says it's premature to comment or for anyone to draw conclusions until experts can fully review the video. It has said there were no electrical anomalies on the transmission lines in that area prior to the fire. It has also questioned whether a nearby homeless encampment could have sparked the blaze that destroyed thousands of homes and killed 17 people. I'm Karen Adams, KMX News, 97.1 FM.
Former state regulator says Edison shifting explanations for the outbreak of the fire. That's a bad look. Loretta Lynch, former chair of the California Public Utilities Commission, tells us that Edison still is not being transparent.
The evidence looks very troubling. What's even more troubling is Edison's dissembling. First, they say one thing, then they shift and they slightly say something else. And then they say, hey, we didn't know. They are supposed to know. We have paid them to know what's going on in their system. After the devastating wildfires in Northern California, Edison was cutting power at the drop of a hat when wind speeds were nowhere near what they were on January 7th. So the big other question for investigators, and I would argue for the DA of Los Angeles County to determine, is what did Edison know? When did they know it? And why did they cut power in some communities, yet not other communities?
She also blames the Public Utilities Commission for being too relaxed with their oversight of Edison. Governor Newsom issued a new executive order to help fire victims get temporary housing, start rebuilding, cut a lot of that red tape out. The order relaxes rules to expand hotel access and short-term rentals. The order is effective until March. It also clarifies that the Coastal Commission's permitting requirements going to remain suspended. They have been seen as confusing. Governor also mobilized federal hazmat teams to remove debris, expanded price gouging protections, directed over $2.5 billion in state aid to recovery efforts, and extended the tax deadline for all L.A. County residents. There are plans in place to use a park at the Foothill Cities area to process hazardous debris from the Eden fire, but that is getting some pushback from Duarte, Azusa, Bolton Park, and Irwindale. They don't want the feds to use Lario Park to hold that debris. And the EPA has already started getting that site ready on Foothill Boulevard with spill control measures. They got plans to monitor the air quality, but the cities say they were not given a heads up or a chance to weigh in, and they say they have got some big concerns about the environmental impact and how close this stuff is going to be to residents. Now, according to the city of Duarte, the city's plan to formally oppose the site. They're going to push for its closure as quickly as possible. Immigration raids happened in L.A. over the weekend, just days after President Trump signed executive orders on illegal immigration. DEA personnel apparently took part. Agents posted images of themselves taking part in the raids yesterday. A post on X said that DEA assisted Homeland Security and other federal law enforcement in what they call enhanced targeted operations throughout L.A. Now, Immigration and Customs Enforcement defines that as planned arrest of known criminal aliens who threaten national security or public safety. Now, it's not known where exactly in L.A. the raids took place or how many people were arrested. Orange County Sheriff has something to say about federal immigration enforcement. Don Barnes released a statement explaining that while securing the border and enforcing immigration laws are important responsibilities of the federal government, the Orange County Sheriff Department does not enforce federal immigration law. It is not part of their primary mission, and deputies remain focused on violations of state and local laws. But Barnes adds that in his view, the crisis at the southern border puts the nation at risk. He is a strong advocate for more enforcement. Well, a long road to recovery just beginning for people who lost their homes in the fires. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Well, we've been telling you about this little walking tour. Mayor Bass and the rebuilding czar, Steve Soboroff, took reporters a bit by surprise today, taking them on an impromptu walking tour of the fire damage in Pacific Palisades. Soboroff saying he's been in touch with a man who lost the race to Karen Bass just over 2 years ago.
Rick Caruso and I have been talking. He's had some questions on behalf of friends of his. I've had some requests of him. Well, that's good. We're here to make friends.
And
we ain't going to do this without a whole bunch of friends.
And we're going to rebuild.
Now, we brought that whole half hour of Walk and Talk to you live today, courtesy of our City Hall reporter, Craig Figner, who is carrying his KNX News microphone. We hope it wasn't too heavy. Craig joins us live. Craig, first of all, it sounded a bit chaotic on the air as you guys were walking, talking.
Yes.
Was it really chaotic there on the scene?
Well, it was because we weren't expecting this. There was a press conference that was scheduled. We had a microphone stand set up with microphones in it, KNX being one of them. And we were there to hear from Mayor Bass the latest on the rebuilding effort for the Pacific Palisades. In addition to that, this was a chance to get to know Steve Soboroff. A lot of people in Los Angeles know him as a business person. They know Soboroff because he helped lead the effort to get Shuttle Endeavor up on display in Los Angeles. He was on the police commission from 2013 to 2023. And now he is the rebuilding czar for this terrible fire disaster. But he, at one point, and it sounded like they were maybe going to take a walk, but not probably do it with the press in tow. But he said, well, let's go for a walk. Let's go over to that building that used to be a Ralph's that's burned down. And that's when the control of this press event was lost, certainly by the mayor's team, because everybody pulled up and started walking and everybody had questions. And so you had Steve Soboroff and the mayor both trying to control the narrative and for about a half hour, oftentimes talking over each other.
Do you think they can really work together well? As you said, they were talking over each other. Do you think they're really on the same page?
Well, it's, I think, very much too early to tell. I can tell that they both are very committed. They both have ideas about how this can be done. It was certainly interesting to hear Soboroff a couple of times invoke the name of Rick Caruso. So I asked him, you know, are you going to him for advice and counsel? And he said, absolutely. He said, I'm a developer. We developers, you know, we get paid when we get things done. He also made reference to his age. He said, I'm 76 years of age. This is Soboroff. He said, I want to get this done, implying he doesn't have a lot of time. So he very much has a vision, but it's new mayors because he was only recently appointed.
And do you see Rick Caruso coming on board with the mayor? And how interesting would that be if they were both working together and then later Rick Caruso decides to run against her?
Well, that would be a good question for a crystal ball, and I don't have one in the KNX newsroom.
All right, our Craig figure there, getting some exercise with the mayor and the rebuilding czar. Craig, thanks for joining us. Wanted to tell you, too, if you missed our special, you can listen to it. It is on demand at KNXnews.com and the Odyssey app. It was called The Southern California Fire Disaster. What Now? It was hosted by Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero. They went very in-depth on the impact of the fires and what it means for L.A. moving forward. Obviously talked a lot about the cleanup and the recovery efforts, too. We are going to catch up with a Congress member who is at last week's roundtable with President Trump to talk about this ongoing cleanup process.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're talking about the Palisades Fire Zone, and everybody involved wants to get that cleaned up as quickly as possible. But it is now essentially a toxic waste site. And KNX News Chief Correspondent Charles Feldman talked about that with Republican Congressman Vince Fong of Bakersfield. Now, he was at that very contentious roundtable with President Trump on Friday, where the president said that homeowners should be able to return home immediately.
In listening to that roundtable, did the president maybe oversimplify it a bit by suggesting that if people wanted to go that very night and start cleaning up, they should be allowed to? But you know that we're talking about, in many cases, toxic wastes. So it would be ill-advised to have people go back immediately, would it not, to start cleaning that up?
Look, as someone who represents a community, or communities, plural, that have been affected by catastrophic wildfires, you know, we want to facilitate the cleanup as quickly as possible. We should be approving every single business and cleanup crew that can do the job, that is certified by the Army Corps and from the federal government and from the state government, to go in and help these families clean up these areas. I mean, we should be putting every single effort. There should be no choke point, no amount of red tape that's going to prevent the cleanup of that area. 18 months is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, the fact that someone would have to wait that long to go in and clean up their homes and start rebuilding their lives. Look, as someone who why my community is dealing with the flooding that happened in my area 2 years ago, we're still trying to get reimbursement from FEMA to rebuild roads and bridges that were washed out. And when you talk about cleanup and rebuilding, let's allow these families as quickly as possible. The 18-month timeline is completely inadequate.
What do you think would be a realistic, and I'm going to emphasize the word realistic, timeline for people to be able to start cleaning up their properties, considering, again, that some of that ash is actually pretty toxic ash?
Well, the county and the city should have a process right now. Those families that were there in the audience, they should have had an ability to contact someone within the city and county to begin that process immediately. The fact that they had to go on a Zoom and then find out on that Zoom that it was 18 months, that is completely unacceptable. Look, this is not the first time FEMA has failed. This is not the first time the state and the local jurisdictions have hindered the ability of rebuilding. And we have to change all these processes. And I think President Trump has outlined the sense of urgency. He's saying, look, the federal government is going to allow you to act immediately. And I challenge you, the state of California and the city of LA and the county of LA, to meet this moment. And I think, and you're seeing that now. You see executive orders being signed on the state level and hopefully on the local level to make that happen. And it should not take 18 months.
Well, and since, again, you mentioned the 18 months, as you know, there was a dispute about that during the roundtable. The president kept bringing up 18 months. But as I recall, Mayor Bass seemed to find that not accurate. And she insisted that people could go back within a week. So where did the 18 months come from?
Talking to the residents, that came from the Zoom call that the mayor was on.
Vince Fong did refuse to specify whether he would like to see conditions or requirements attached to federal disaster aid coming into California. That's Republican Congressman Vince Fong of Bakersfield. Quick check of the markets. The Dow closed up 289, the S&P down 89, NASDAQ down 612. And now, the Business of Entertainment report.
Even before the devastating wildfires ravaged Los Angeles, many film and television jobs were leaving the city. Here's Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw.
I already know a lot of people who work in media and entertainment who have been leaving Los Angeles because there's been a pullback in spending, and so there are not as many jobs, because the city continues to get more expensive, because they're worried about crime. There are all sorts of reasons.
Thousands of film and TV workers lived in the zip codes that were burned or evacuated in the blazes. Meanwhile, LA's share of scripted TV production production has been in decline for the last 3 years. This is places like Georgia, New York, Nevada, the UK, and Australia are luring productions.
I think most people would expect there to be a continued exodus of production to other states and other countries. The only way that doesn't happen probably is if the state steps in, and the state has already offered pretty significant incentives, and there are some who would like them to do even more.
And Shaw says it's too early to predict what all this will mean for the future of the industry. I'm Bloomberg's Karen Moscow from the Barrister Office Suite's Money Desk on KNX News 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Monday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.